The America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush's public support dropped sharply over the past month, especially among older voters, political independents, and people in the Midwest, an Associated Press poll found. And for the first time, more voters in this poll's 2 years of tracking the question said they would definitely vote against Bush than they would definitely vote for him. Bush's approval rating stood at 47% in the AP Ipsos poll taken early in February, down from 56% approval just a month ago. Half, or 50%, said they disapproved in the latest poll. Bush's 47% rating is the same as his father's at this stage in his presidency 12 years ago, before he lost to Bill Clinton. Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry is poised to secure the backing of former rival Dick Gephardt and his once loyal labor unions, further clearing the Massachusetts senator's path towards the nomination. His opponents, meanwhile, are seeking to slow his rapid rise and establish themselves as his alternative. Howard Dean is camping out in Wisconsin with hopes of resurrecting his struggling campaign, and Sons of the South John Edwards and Wesley Clark are stumping in that region as well. The upcoming campaign calendar likely will heap even more momentum and more delegates onto Kerry as well. His rivals haven't made much of an effort in Michigan, Washington, or Maine, where contests this weekend offered 228 delegates combined. The U.S. economy created just 112,000 new jobs in January, far fewer than expected, government data showed on Friday, in a disappointing report that will likely weigh on George W. Bush's election campaign. The fifth straight monthly gain in payrolls outside farming followed a revised increase of 16,000 new jobs in December, the Labor Department said. The unemployment rate ticked down to 5.6%, the lowest rate since January 2002, from 5.7% the previous month, but those numbers are taken from a separate, smaller survey. Analysts had been expecting the improving economy to create 150,000 new jobs in January. They were looking for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 5.7%. More news after this.
In an instant, my son could make anyone smile. In an instant, he was gone. The driver was looking for other cars. But he didn't watch out for my son. Crossing the street. Imagine, in the time it takes to stop for someone in the crosswalk, you could save a life. Or change yours forever.
A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
An Idaho truck driver received his Million Mile Safe Driving Award in a hospital after getting injured in a crash. Raymond Mattis was headed from Washington State to Ohio and planned to stop in Missoula, Montana on Saturday to pick up his award from Jim Palmer Trucking. Before he could reach the company's yard, an SUV skidded into the path of his tractor-trailer on Interstate 90 outside of town. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Anyone who still thinks that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties should take a look at a Washington squabble over the dime itself. A gaggle of top Republican leaders in Congress, including the odious legislative thug Tom DeLay, are furiously pushing a bill to alter the dime. They want to remove the likeness of Franklin D. Roosevelt from the coin and replace it with a countenance of Ronald Reagan. In a time when America's health care system is failing, when the federal budget is $500 billion short, when middle-class jobs are disappearing, when our troops are dying every day in Iraq and Afghanistan, isn't it comforting to see that our country's lawmakers do not let these actual problems deter them from getting down in the slime of petty partisanship for something as inconsequential as displacing a Democratic president with a Republican one on our 10-cent piece? Democrats in Congress are responding with their own effort to keep FDR on the coin. They point out that his face was put on it not merely because he was president, but especially because he had founded the March of Dimes organization, through which America's children collected the dimes that funded research into polio, the awful disease that had put Roosevelt himself in a wheelchair. Thanks to those dimes, a vaccine was developed that effectively ended polio in our country. But Democrats are not alone in opposing this effort to scrape FDR off the dime. None other than Nancy Reagan opposes it. Indeed, Ronald Reagan himself has proudly noted that he voted for Roosevelt in all four of his presidential elections, and Reagan cited the Democrat as the greatest president of the century. This is Jim Hightower saying, nonetheless, the rabidly partisan Republican leaders are still demanding FDR's head. If they win, will they then go after the nickel, which features Jefferson, the first Democrat? To help stop this silliness on the dime, call the office of Representative Jim McGovern, 202-225-6101.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Alan, greetings, friends, broadcasting live from Palm Springs, California. This is Tom Hartman, and if it sounds like I'm dialing in on a telephone line, I am. We got in here at 4 o'clock this morning as a result of United Airlines and a snowstorm in Chicago and the marvelous Hilton in Palm Springs, which had said that they would have a fax-quality line for our Comrex, which is a box that we use to send the signal to the radio station by a digital box so that it sounds like I'm in a studio. They didn't do. So we have, you know, one of those Mercury retrograde kind of things, concatenation of errors. So those of you who are among our affiliate radio stations, not to worry. The fairly bad audio quality here is sometime in the next half hour or so, as soon as Rama Schneider can make his way into our studio in Vermont. I'm going to let him take over the program because this is just it's not good radio. My apologies. The CIA chief has, he didn't fall on his sword, and he didn't actually shake. I mean, you know, what is, there's so many different ways that this thing is being spun, George Tenet's testimony, and what is absolutely being overlooked in all this, the real issue here. I mean, you know, what's really going on? The real issue here that's absolutely being overlooked by everybody is the fact that Iraq sits on 10% of the oil of the world. The United States no longer has enough oil to supply its own needs. We have passed that point. In 1950, we had enough oil to supply our own needs, even though we were importing other oil. Even up through the 1960s, we had enough oil to supply our own needs, although we only had about a 10 or 15 year supply if we were to entirely supply ourselves. Now, we can't do it anymore. We're in a position similar to Japan just before World War II. One of the things that pushed Japan into entering the war was to try to secure oil because they're an oil free nation. I mean, you know, they have a poverty of oil, a paucity of oil. And it's something I want to get into later on next week. I've been doing some research for this thing, and China now is set to use as much oil as the United States within the next 8 years. And they're importing about 40% of their oil. And everybody's looking at the Middle East for the imported oil. And right now, whoever ends up controlling that will control the world. And so we have this odd situation. It's not odd. It's frankly to me amazing how Americans just don't get it. What, you think it's just a coincidence that we attacked a country that had no weapons? There's plenty of weapons out there in other countries. You want a country with nuclear weapons? Look at Pakistan. You want a country that has murdered 3 to 4 million of its own people that we know about? Look at China. And yet not only and you've got this bizarre situation with China where if you want to buy products from China, bring them from China into the United States, at the most you have to pay a 2 or 3% tariff. But if you want to sell products to China, they're going to charge you 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20% tariff depending on the product because they still have protective tariffs in place to protect their domestic economy. What do the Chinese know that we don't know? Rational economic national policy. Very, very simple, straightforward stuff. So here we got George Tenet spinning around. Today's Los Angeles Times, the headline, CIA chief says, no imminent threat in Iraq. Now, I guarantee you this is not how they're going to spin it on faux news. The vast right-wing echo chamber is going to look for little sentences that they can parse into great big things. But the bottom line here is that George Tenet is putting the world and this administration on notice that he didn't make the choice to go. Well, it was Bill Clinton. He knew that. He knew about it. Yeah, just Sean Hannity the other night. It would have been comical if it wasn't so pathetic because it's so destructive to American democracy. He gets some guy on and he says, tell me who said this. Saddam Hussein possesses weapons of mass destruction. We got to do something about it. Now, who said that? The guy says, well, I don't know. Probably somebody who'd been listening to the lies coming out of Don Ron. He says, no, it was Bill Clinton. Well, of course Bill Clinton said that because during Bill Clinton's reign, Saddam Hussein still had many of the weapons that Donald Rumsfeld had sold to him. And he took them out. He sent Scott Ritter in, and he took them out. And when Scott Ritter determined that there were a couple of places where he wasn't able to get at all of them, he pulled Scott Ritter out, and he sent in the bombs. I mean, it was just very simple, very straightforward. But you're going to find the right trying to figure out their ways to spin this and lie this and deceive the American people. And the greatest deception of them all, and it's the one that the Democrats are participating in as much as the Republicans. And, you know, forgive me, if you think I sound like some kind of conspiracy theorist, just apply 30 seconds of common sense to this. Iraq has the cheapest oil in the world and one of the largest supplies of it. And we are running out of oil, and if our economy doesn't have access to continuing sources of cheap oil, we are sunk. Now you put two and two together. I mean, this is not rocket science. So here we have in the Los Angeles Times here, the subhead, an article by Bob Drogan and Greg Miller. Tenet says his agency overestimated Hussein's illegal weapons and relied upon fabricated information from an unreliable source. But when you dig into it a little deeper, you discover that the CIA didn't actually rely on that. It was part of this huge potpourri of intelligence information. Some of it from Ahmed Chalabi, the convicted bank swindler, who's now our guy in Iraq. His family well connected to the Bush family in the banking business. Multi-millionaire Ahmed Chalabi, criminal Ahmed Chalabi, who's now running Iraq, or one of the guys running Iraq. And you got him and his Iraqi National Congress saying, oh, no, that we know that stuff is over. No, we haven't been there since 1954, but we know it's there. Yeah. So it wasn't that the CIA relied upon it. In fact, here, you get into the story. Fiercely defending the intelligence community, CIA Director George J. Tenet on Thursday said his agency never warned President Bush that Saddam Hussein's government posed an imminent threat. Now, how much more clear could that be? And the top spy master backed away from several claims about weapons of mass destruction that the White House had used to justify the invasion of Iraq. I mean, this is just, it is just so straightforward. Get it, folks. This war was never about weapons of mass destruction. Paul Wolfowitz told the truth to Vanity Fair magazine when he said, we were going to do this. Paul O'Neill told the truth when he said when George W. Bush first came into office, long before 9/11, the first thing on his agenda was take Iraq, take the oil. And what was it that George W. Bush said when he made his invasion speech, the speech 2 hours before the bombs began to fall, and he turned to the camera and he said, and now I'd like to speak to the people of Iraq. And instead of saying, you know, our young men and women are going in there and they're good people just like your soldiers are and we'd like to minimize casualties, so please lay down your arms and don't fight with them. We have overwhelming force. We're going to win this thing. We're going to liberate you from a dictator. Now, he didn't say any of that because that wasn't the agenda. That's the post-occupation spin. What he said to the Iraqi people was, your fate is in your hands. Do not destroy oil wells. You've heard that clip on this program before. Oh, if you saw the speech, you know that that's what he said. And what did they do? The first thing that our soldiers did they protect the government buildings where there might have been evidence of weapons of mass destruction? No. Did they protect the Iraqi National Museum that was extensively looted? And then you get this cover story about a month later saying, oh, no, only 38 pieces are missing, and then which gets trumpeted all over faux news. And then we discover, no, actually, in fact, there's hundreds of thousands of pieces missing, still missing. And not just in the museum, but in antiquity sites all over Iraq. There has been wide-scale, wholesale lawlessness and looting in that nation ever since we arrived. Not to say it was a paradise before we got there, but the point is that instead of preparing for any of that, instead of planning for any of that, we just secured the oil wells for Halliburton. I mean, when we went into Germany, we didn't say, okay, where are the oil wells? That's all we're going to pay attention to. Well, of course, there weren't any in Germany or Japan. One of the reasons that these countries started the war, they wanted to secure oil controlling, you know, the whole Rommel going across northern Africa in search of oil. Gottfried Mueller parachuting into what is now northern Iraq, what was then Kurdistan, right? Creating the flag for the Kurdish, the PRC, the PPK, I believe it is, the People's, whatever it is, for Kurdistan. It was all about oil. Talk to any oil scientist. This is not a secret, my friends. We've got 20, 30, 40 years worth of oil left on the planet, by the most optimistic numbers, and you've got China preparing to overtake the United States in oil consumption when just 15 years ago they were a minor player. And why is that happening? Because we are shipping our jobs and our lifestyle to them so that when Walmart buys products from them, they only pay a 3% tariff. But if an American manufacturer wants to sell something to them, they're going to have to pay a 20 or 30% tariff. It is nuts! But it sure is profitable for the major multinational corporations, and that is the conservative agenda. That is what it's all about. let's keep some rationality here and not be distracted by this weapons of mass destruction sideshow. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a.
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Losing you in my life, you see. But you mean that much to me.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live from Palm Springs, California, the Winter Brain Conference, where I'm going to be speaking in an hour and a half here on how brains work. more than you want to know about on a talk show like this, I suspect. For Dean, now, it's Wisconsin or bust. Howard Dean has declared that if he doesn't make Wisconsin, he's, I don't think he's said he's going to pull the plug, but it's looking like it. He gave this little speech last night. We caught it in the airport lounge, where he was saying, "Yeah, well, this is it. We got to make it. You know, it's." Here the headline from USA Today again: Tenet, CIA did not call Iraq threat imminent. How are these guys going to spin this thing? You know, and again, when are Americans going to wake up and realize that it never was about weapons of mass destruction? Paul Wolfowitz told the uncomfortable truth. He said, we needed a bureaucratic excuse that everyone could agree on, and that was it. But there were really other reasons for going into Iraq. And, you know, we get all these details. All the details are coming out. These guys, you know, before 9/11, Condi Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, every single one of them said, we've got Saddam in a bottle. He doesn't present a threat. There's nothing to worry about. Because, I mean, that's what the intelligence said. All of a sudden, the intelligence changes. It seems to have coincided with Donald Rumsfeld setting up his own little intelligence agency inside the White House. Well, on other topics, I wanted to just share some things, some science stuff here with you. You know, broaden this show a little bit and stretch our brains. The current issue of Science News, some interesting things. If red wine protects against heart disease, it's probably not because of the antioxidants. And so this has got these scientists scratching their heads again. They thought that there was this compound in red wine that these polyphenols that were protecting people because they were antioxidants. Antioxidants, basically oxygen is, you know, I mean, we need it to live because it facilitates the burning, as it were, of sugars. But it also can cause a lot of damage. You know, you put oxygen with iron and you get rust. And so oxidation and the residues of oxidation are called free radicals, and they cause harm in the body. They can cause all sorts of problems. So the prevailing theory was, because red wine does contain an antioxidant, this polyphenol antioxidant, that must be why people who drink a glass of red wine every day don't have as much heart disease. But here they just did this study. It was published in the January American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Reported no signs of reduced oxidation within the arteries of heart disease-prone mice given red wine. Nevertheless, the mice drinking that wine had fewer fatty plaques in their arteries than did animals drinking plain water. In fact, in a 20-week study, the mice receiving the wine developed only 60% as many artery plaques as the others did. So now they're thinking that the polyphenols, this ingredient in red wine, instead of protecting against oxygen, is stimulating the production of a compound called nitric acid. Nitric acid is something that they're just, you read the science literature, and just in the last year they figured out nitric acid is really important in the body. What it does is it maintains the flexibility of our veins and arteries and prevents arterial sclerosis. So I thought that was really interesting. They've done now. There's also a second study that was done in Sydney, the equivalent of a person drinking one glass of wine a day. Came up with the same thing, measured the inner walls of the animal's aortas, and found that those mice receiving wine to be thinner, a sign of healthy arteries. So our science factoid for the day. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
In the world of statistics, the human impact on the natural environment is enormous and abnormal. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to consumption of the Earth's natural resources, the impact of humanity is far outside the range of what's normal for populations of many other warm-blooded creatures. That's one finding in a study by Chuck Fowler, an ecologist with the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle, Washington. Fowler normally studies the way entire populations of marine mammals affect their surroundings. He expanded his research to see how people compare with other species in terms of the ecological footprint we leave on the natural world.
There are lots of ways of measuring those footprints, and they range all the way from our consumption of food resources, our production of carbon dioxide, our occupation of space. You name it, there are just lots of ways of measuring the footprint, and what we are doing now is using the footprints that all species have and making comparisons between humans and other species in a way where we're getting an assessment of what works.
In part of his study, Fowler compared the size of the human population to numbers for 63 other mammals that are roughly our size and weight. The list included animals such as seals and white-tailed deer. The statistical comparison produced a range of population sizes that would be considered normal for each species. The upper limit of normal population sizes were in the tens of millions, but no higher. Fowler says a world filled with a billion white-tailed deer would be quite abnormal. In the context of this study, he says abnormal clearly applies to the human population, which now stands at 6 billion people. Fowler's research was recently published in a journal of the Royal Society of London. The article carries the title, Is Humanity Sustainable? Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, welcome back, my friends. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live today via... Unfortunately, via telephone from the from Palm Springs, California. We thought we had all our technical details taken care of, but the hotel here has let us down, as it were. We're still going to try and fix it up, and we will be on Monday and Tuesday one way or another in a more rational way, and Rama Schneider should be showing up here soon to give us something that sounds a little better than this terrible quality. But... Anyhow, some other things here that I wanted to get into that I think are really interesting. The Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, George Bush never reads the newspapers, so I'm going to read him some stories. And he read him the story about the vultures dying. And now it turns out that there's more to that story. And this again, these are the canaries in the birdcage. These are those interesting things that tell us more than they tell us, that give you a little picture of the big picture, a little insight into something that's much larger. The reason this from Science News, the January 31st issue of Science News. The recent puzzling crash in vulture populations in Pakistan turns out to not be a new bird plague, as conservationists had first expected, but instead, the reason why this thing is happening is because these birds are eating the carcasses of domesticated animals, principally cattle, that have been shot up, injected, with a particular type of antibiotic to keep them healthy. That is lethal to birds. Now you may say, what's the big deal? You know, it's a few vultures dying. It's actually three species of vultures that are at risk of extinction right now. Well, here's how it all echoes down, and this is what's so spooky. Vultures play an important part in curbing ominous diseases such as anthrax and foot and mouth disease. Now, how does that happen? How is it that a vulture is responsible for anthrax and foot and mouth disease not spreading through the populations? By the way, before I get to that, it's Friday. I believe Bernie Sanders is going to be on our second hour, and presumably Rama will be on by then, and he'll be talking with you with Bernie. I may be back for our third hour. We'll see. And certainly we'll be back on Monday, one way or the other. But feel free to call 1-800-TALK-YES if you have thoughts on these or any other topics, it being Friday. Now, here's what's happening. The vulture, when animals die in the wild, big animals, as small animals die, the ants get them, right? I mean, you know, they vanish quickly. We've all seen at some point in our lives, you know, a little dead caterpillar or worm by the road just, you know, being swarmed over by ants or beetles or other bugs. But when a cow dies, or a lion or an antelope or a gazelle or whatever, it's the vultures that clean that carcass in a day or two. And their digestive systems are so acidic and so toxic that they can eat contaminated meat, and it doesn't bother them. And they don't pass along the infection in their feces. They sterilize it. So it's like nature's garbage disposal system that doesn't just dispose of the garbage, but does it in a way that heals and cleans things. Well, ornithologists, that is bird folks, at the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York, say that the consequences of vulture loss are rippling through the ecosystem already. Without vultures competing for carcasses, foxes have boomed. So you create one ecological hole, another fills. But the problem is that the foxes are bringing rabies, which is contagious to humans. And so all around Pakistan now they're having human rabies epidemics because the vultures are being killed off by the antibiotics being given to the cattle. The vulture decline also brings cultural change to people. Farmers who traditionally leave dead animals to the vultures have had to develop new practices. They're having to burn them, which is very expensive in a country where a few gallons of gasoline may represent a few days' income. And there's an entire group called the Parsi group, a tribe who they do what are called sky burials, which are actually not all that uncommon in the Indian subcontinent, where they take the body and they put it up in a tree or they put it on a platform of the dead person. And then a few days later bring down the bare bones, the bare and cleaned bones, and bury them. And, of course, it's the vultures that have picked the bones clean. And this is no longer happening because the vultures are dying. And 85% of the vultures now seem to be dead. And this has got a lot of people concerned, a lot of people very worried. So, you know, I'm really torn. I got to tell you, I'm really torn on this. Part of me really wants to get into George Tenet and his prevarications. And part of me, what was that, Lois? And part of me is very concerned that this is just the sideshow. This is just the sideshow, my friends. The other issue, by the way, I wanted to just let you know, I have changed my mind on something, and I think it's important when you do that to just, you know, come right out and say it. I lived in Vermont where when the Supreme Court said, hey, you can't discriminate against gay people who want to have contracts, legal contracts to allow themselves to have the rights of marriage, we came up with a civil union thing. And I've spent a couple days now looking over the opinion of the Massachusetts Supreme Court, and in which they said basically that gay marriage is a human right. And I have to say, I agree with them. I mean, you know, why play these games? If a church doesn't want to recognize a gay marriage, that's fine. You know, the Catholic Church today doesn't recognize divorce. Does that mean we don't have divorce laws? I heard, you know, someone the other day going, well, you know, you got to realize you people are in the minority. He was speaking to a woman in a lesbian couple. He says, you people are in the minority, so, you know, society's rules are a little different for you. And I'm thinking, you know, black people are in the minority, and we had different rules for them for a long time. I mean, to some extent, unfortunately, we still do in things like credit and job application. That's a whole other rant. But the point is, just because somebody is in the minority doesn't mean that they shouldn't have full and equal rights, in my opinion. I mean, I was an advocate of civil unions, and virtually all the presidential candidates picked up my position. I mean, I don't want to say they got it from me, but I mean, I was saying it before they were. And the more I think about it, the more I think it's wrong. The more I think it's just a cop out. It's just a plain old cop out. If marriage is the word that states are using for that legal document that binds people together, then, you know, let's just be upfront about it and say, hey, marriage it is. I mean, what's, and again, if a church wants to say, you know, if somebody's the member of the First National Conservative Baptist Methodist Church, something that clearly doesn't exist, so I can just make up a name here, and their church says, no, nevermore, we will have nothing to do with gay marriage. Cool. No problem. I mean, just like the Catholics say, well, you guys passed divorce laws back in the 1950s, as I recall. I mean, you know, it was illegal to get divorced in the United States for a long time, outside of very, very, very narrow boundaries. I was in Ireland a couple of years ago. Oh, it must have been about 7, 8 years ago. And I passed a big billboard. I was driving with a friend who was Irish. I passed this big billboard, and it said something. And it had a picture of a woman whose eyes had been blackened, you know, black and blue eyes, a badly beaten up woman. And the headline was, "Give her the right to get out," as I recall, or something very close to that. And I turned to my friend and I said, what is that? Give her the right to get out. What's going on here in Ireland? And he said, well, there's this big thing of, I don't recall if it was before Parliament or if it was going to be a voter referendum or maybe both. But he said, there's this big thing, this big battle going on about whether to legalize divorce. Well, they ultimately did in Ireland. They legalized divorce, but the Catholic Church still isn't going along with it. That doesn't mean that the state can't. So, you know, if you have thoughts on that, feel free to give us a shout, 1-800-TALK-YES. Hope you're having a good Friday. It's interesting. One of my favorite days of the week. And I'll say in advance, in the event that, you know, Rama shows up and I'm out of here, TGIF, Happy Friday, Shabbat Shalom to all of my friends out there, all of our listeners. Well, I guess I'm going to give in. I really think it is important to deal with this stuff of George Tenet, even though, you know, I am so concerned about, you know, playing into the game. I mean, but I've said my piece about what I think this is really about. What I think it's really about is oil. And maybe some neurotic agenda that George W. Bush had, you know, with fulfilling his daddy's legacy, or he tried to kill my father or something like that. But really, I mean, you know, you get a bunch of oil CEOs. Condoleezza Rice has an oil tanker named after her from her years at Exxon, now ExxonMobil. And Dick Cheney, oil exploration country, that was a company that was losing money until it started getting all these big government contracts, so they can now more easily pay him his $100,000 plus per year salary that he's still drawing while he's vice president, not to mention his millions of dollars of unexercised stock options that are going to be worth an absolutely bloody fortune when he leaves the vice presidency in 2004 to make room for Rudy Giuliani on the ticket. But I guess just for the record, it's important to put some of this stuff out. The way these guys are just spinning and spinning and spinning this stuff. Here we have Condoleezza Rice on July 29th, 01, and I quote, "We are able to keep arms from Saddam. His military forces have not been rebuilt," end quote. And then, what, a year later, she says, "Iraq is armed with weapons of mass destruction." What happened? What happened was she started ignoring the intelligence community of the United States and paying attention to this cherry-picked stuff coming out of Ahmed Chalabi, the convicted bank swindler, who we had put in charge of the Iraqi National Congress and said, "You tell us what's going on." Colin Powell, on February 23rd, 2001, and February 24th, 2001, and you'll find this on the State Department's website, www.state.gov, said, "Iraq is contained and threatens not the United States." It's just, you know, on and on it goes. It's like, you know, the spinning. So in a major speech yesterday morning addressing the failure to find weapons of mass destruction, CIA Director Tenet said the intelligence community never told the White House that Iraq was an imminent threat to America, a stunning blow to the White House. And so now what does George Bush do? Well, he says, okay, taxpayers, you're going to pay $55,000 an hour for Air Force One, not to mention all the security and everything else. You're going to spend millions of dollars to fly me around the country to do PR appearances to promote my point of view. Now, that in and of itself is abominable. I mean, you know, his use of Martin Luther King Day, his calling up at the last minute saying, "May I lay a wreath on Martin Luther King's tomb?" So that his whole fundraising trip, in which he raised more than $1 million to the Republican National Committee, became paid for by you and me. I mean, this is the pattern of the Bush administration. But anyhow, while the White House has tried to say it, never claimed Iraq was an imminent threat. The record proves otherwise. Tenet's speech follows an interview last night on 60 Minutes 2. Did you see this on 60 Minutes 2 last night? The State Department's top intelligence officer, Greg Thielman, this is the guy who's like in charge of filtering all the information. He says, and I quote, "The main problem before the war was that the senior administration officials had what I call faith-based intelligence. They knew that they wanted the intelligence to show. They knew what they wanted the intelligence to show. They were really blind and deaf." Gee, where does that phrase, you know, echo from Paul O'Neill's description of George Bush in a cabinet meeting? Anyhow, they were really blind and deaf to any kind of countervailing information the intelligence community could produce. "I would assign some blame," he said, "to the intelligence community, and most of the blame to the senior administration officials." George Tenet, I mean, you know, it's his remarks were pretty steady. He said the intelligence community repeatedly warned the White House that the president's weapons for mass destruction case for war was weak. Not only did the intelligence community not say Iraq was an imminent threat, but in many cases they acknowledged there was no hard evidence at all. Folks, we've been lied to. Now, you know, maybe we should have a discussion about whether we should get their oil. Let's at least talk about the true issues. But let's not do this. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, TomHartman.com.
Back in the right wing every day on the radio across the USA.
Getting it right and getting tough, using mystery science and all that stuff.
Win the water cooler wars, Tom's on your side, that's what he's for.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, and I believe Rama Schneider's there.
I believe I am too, boss. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Rama?
Well, I would be doing better if you'd let me carry your pencils out there.
It's 70 degrees out here, Rama.
Oh, shut up. It's snowing and sleeting, and it's...
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders, typically on Friday afternoon, our second hour of the program is Brunch with Bernie. And so Bernie Sanders will probably be calling in at the top of the hour. And I pretty much let him run the show, you know, decide on the topics that he wants to talk about. So
okay.
Just a heads up, you'll be doing that.
Yep.
And if not, I know that you've got a lot of stuff to rant about.
Oh, yeah.
You've been hearing my comments here. What are your thoughts on the things that I've been talking about?
to be honest, I only heard a little bit of what you were talking about, Tom. I know you were talking some about what Mr. Tenet was saying and as compared to the reality. And that part, actually, I've been trying to get things set up, but that made me smile, Tom, because I've got a whole stack of pieces of paper. I mean, a big stack that I've been just accumulating lately of all the times that Bushies told us there were weapons of mass destruction. We know where they're at, or they would include Al-Qaeda within, you know, 10 words or one sentence of 9/11. And it's just, come on, folks, they marketed this war to us, Tom,
yeah,
and they're
absolutely
afraid to admit it.
And the thing is that the real reason of getting and securing the oil supplies of the Middle East was never discussed, and that may well be a topic that we should have a discussion about. We should have a discussion about: do we want to continue to be an oil-based economy, and if so, do we want to project, you know, military force into the Middle East and lose hundreds of thousands of our young people in order to do it, or do we want to change to alternative energy supplies in the United States and harm the profitability of Halliburton?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, God forbid we do something to hurt Halliburton, but there are just so many opportunities out there to do something different.
Yeah.
Real, live, palpable opportunities. There's solar energy, wind energy, hydrogen. Although I'm kind of iffy on that one, but you know,
well, there's an awful lot. Rama, I'm going to turn it over to you here because you've got a decent signal there to the network.
Okay.
And I may be back on the third hour. We'll see. But
all right.
In all probability, I'm going to ask you to hang on for these, to handle this for these 2 hours. And thank you so much in advance for doing it.
Oh, it's going to be great fun. You guys have a fun time out there. We'll hear from you on Monday then.
Great. Thanks, Rama.
Yes, boss.
Bye then.
I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Bernie.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. economy created just 112,000 new jobs in January, far fewer than expected, government data showed on Friday in a disappointing report that will likely weigh on George W. Bush's election campaign. The fifth straight monthly gain in payrolls outside farming followed a revised increase of 16,000 new jobs in December, the Labor Department said. The unemployment rate ticked down to 5.6%, the lowest rate since January 2002, from 5.7% the previous month, but those numbers are taken from a separate, smaller survey. Analysts had been expecting the improving economy to create 150,000 new jobs in January. They were looking for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 5.7%. George W. Bush's public support dropped sharply over the past month, especially among older voters, political independents, and people in the Midwest, an Associated Press poll found. And for the first time, more voters in this poll's 2 years of tracking the question said they would definitely vote against Bush than they would definitely vote for him. Bush's approval rating stood at 47% in the AP Ipsos poll taken early in February, down from 56% approval just a month ago. Half, or 50%, said they disapproved in the latest poll. Bush's 47% rating is the same as his father's at this stage in his presidency 12 years ago, before he lost to Bill Clinton. Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry is poised to secure the backing of former rival Dick Gephardt and his once loyal labor unions, further clearing the Massachusetts senator's path towards the nomination. His opponents, meanwhile, are seeking to slow his rapid rise and establish themselves as his alternative. Howard Dean is camping out in Wisconsin with hopes of resurrecting his struggling campaign, and Sons of the South John Edwards and Wesley Clark are stumping in that region as well. The upcoming campaign calendar likely will heap even more momentum and more delegates onto Curry as well. His rivals haven't made much of an effort in Michigan, Washington, or Maine, where contests this weekend offer 228 delegates combined. More news after this.
In an instant, my son could make anyone smile. In an instant, he was gone. The driver was looking for other cars. But he didn't watch out for my son crossing the street. Imagine, in the time it takes to stop for someone in the crosswalk, you could save a life or change yours forever.
A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Mohegan Sun pastry chefs have been working hard all week to prove that you can have your cake and eat it too. They're building what they hope will be the world's largest wedding cake. The seven-tier cake weighs more than 14,000 pounds and measures about 17 feet tall and is making its debut at the casino in Uncasville, Connecticut on Sunday. They're hoping to top the Guinness Book World Record set by a 5,300-pound cake baked in June 2003. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Anyone who still thinks that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties should take a look at a Washington squabble over the dime itself. A gaggle of top Republican leaders in Congress, including the odious legislative thug Tom DeLay, are furiously pushing a bill to alter the dime. They want to remove the likeness of Franklin D. Roosevelt from the coin and replace it with the countenance of Ronald Reagan. In a time when America's health care system is failing, when the federal budget is $500 billion short, when middle-class jobs are disappearing, when our troops are dying every day in Iraq and Afghanistan, isn't it comforting to see that our country's lawmakers do not let these actual problems deter them from getting down in the slime of petty partisanship for something as inconsequential as displacing a Democratic president with a Republican one on our 10-cent piece? Democrats in Congress are responding with their own effort to keep FDR on the coin. They point out that his face was put on it not merely because he was president, but especially because he had founded the March of Dimes organization, through which America's children collected the dimes that funded research into polio, the awful disease that had put Roosevelt himself in a wheelchair. Thanks to those dimes, a vaccine was developed that effectively ended polio in our country. But Democrats are not alone in opposing this effort to scrape FDR off the dime. None other than Nancy Reagan opposes it. Indeed, Ronald Reagan himself has proudly noted that he voted for Roosevelt in all four of his presidential elections, and Reagan cited the Democrat as the greatest president of the century. This is Jim Hightower saying, nonetheless, the rabidly partisan Republican leaders are still demanding FDR's head. If they win, will they then go after the nickel, which features Jefferson, the first Democrat? To help stop this silliness on the dime, call the office of Representative Jim McGovern, 202-225-6101.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
No, it isn't. This is Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, still telling the truths that multinational corporations just don't want you to know. And the Tom Hartman Show is being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And, of course, the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. And I guess on the phone with us we have the man, Congressman Bernie Sanders. So without further ado, hello, Congressman Sanders.
How are you, Rama?
Oh, I'm doing great. Boy, this is fantastic to be able to talk to you again.
We haven't done this for a few years, I think, huh?
No. And it was back on WSNO, In the Air. You used to call in regularly, and you were always really good. Well, you still are really good, of course. And then you were really good with me about keeping in touch with all of your constituency. So, you know. I guess, Bernie, do you have any particular place you want to start?
Well, I wanted to start recently, as I think many of the listeners may know, there was a little bit of some press discussion about the fact that the chairman of the House Commerce Committee, Billy Tozzin,
right,
of Louisiana, has been offered a job by the pharma people, which is the pharmaceutical industry,
yes,
trade group, the group that represents the drug companies. And apparently, the gossip that we hear is he's been offered a job for $2 million. Now, what is a little bit unusual about this is that Mr. Tozzin, perhaps more than anybody else in Congress, helped write the recent piece of legislation which provides billions and billions of dollars in subsidies for the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance company. And it just tells us that what is going on in Washington right now is not exactly what we learned in elementary school in that chapter where it said how a bill becomes a law. You remember that one, Rama?
I remember something about that. It used to be when Mr. Smith went to Washington, Bernie, he went down there to do good for the people, not to collect bribes to vote for bills.
Well, I wanted to spend a moment because this whole issue of the high cost of prescription drugs and how we deal with it is something that I've been very much involved in. And I want to give the listeners just an overview of how that bill proceeded.
Please
people should know that way back in June of 2002, the pharmaceutical industry staged a fundraiser for President Bush and the Republican Party in which it raised a record-breaking $30 million in one night.
Wow.
Then, more recently, in November, on November 22nd, 2003, that's the night where we had a key vote to determine whether the president's disastrous bill would pass or not. Will pass or not. You know what time that vote was taken, Rama?
What, 3, 4 a.m.?
No, 5:53 in the morning.
Oh,
and now, you know what was especially interesting about that? In the House of Representatives, we have a rule. The bells go off, and you have to get down there, and you have to vote in 17 minutes, or they close the rolls. You miss your vote.
17 minutes.
You know how many hours that roll call was kept open on that night?
You're going to tell me more than one, aren't you?
Well, it was kept open for approximately 3 hours. And the reason it was kept open for 3 hours is they couldn't get the votes to pass it. And they went around and they had the leadership going around twisting arms. And they had the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, on the floor of the House.
Right.
Then what happened, very interestingly, there's a fellow named Nick Smith, who's a congressman, Republican congressman from Michigan.
Yes.
Smith was against this bill. He said so, and he voted against the bill. But they leaned on him so heavily that there were allegations that he publicly made that people offered to say Republicans told him that business interests would contribute $100,000 to his son's campaign to succeed him in the House of Representatives if he changed his vote.
Right.
And that's now under an investigation. Then, during the course of the debate, before the debate, Republican leadership said, well, this bill is going to cost $395 billion over a 10-year period. Well, guess what? To nobody's surprise, a couple of months after the bill is signed, it turns out that it's going to cost $530 billion.
Yeah.
Then the President of the United States goes before the State of the Union and he says, well, most Americans will be able to see their drug bills cut roughly in half, most senior citizens.
Right.
Well, actually, that's untrue. At best, most seniors will see their drug bills cut about one-third and maybe even less. And 1 year after the passage of the bill, when it's implemented, it's going to go implemented in 2006. 1 year after it, there are estimates by the Consumers Union that seniors will be paying more out-of-pocket for their prescription drugs than they are today because language was put in that bill that specifically prohibits the government from negotiating with the drug companies to lower the price.
Jeez.
And then, of course, we have Mr. Tarzan now contemplating an offer to work with the industry. And that's the way, friends, a bill becomes a law. Not a very pretty picture.
Let me ask you something here, because you brought up pharma. For people that aren't aware, PHARMA is actually an acronym for whatever. You know, they're the big professional group for dealing with the pharmaceutical companies lobbying the government. But, Bernie, I used to talk to pharma. Actually, I talked to him, I think, several times while I was doing In the Air. And one of the things that pharma, whoever the rep was talking to me at the time, they wanted to loosen up the rules for getting medicinal drugs okayed through the FDA. And they used to always point to Canada and Britain as great examples as to why how things can stay so good with easier to work with rules. Now, I'm really trying to juxtapose this with what I hear today. Now, all of a sudden, apparently the rules in Canada and Britain are horrible and they're going to kill us, right?
You got it. That's right. I mean, the inconsistency here, we managed to pass on the floor of the House with strong bipartisan support, I should say.
Right.
Legislation which says that the American people, our pharmacists, our prescription drug distributors, should be able to purchase safe, FDA-approved medicine in any one of 26 industrialized countries where they could purchase that product for a lower cost than in the United States. Canada, by the way, is only just one. Some of the prices in Europe are less expensive than in Canada. Needless to say, despite a strong passage in the House, support in the Senate, that language was never incorporated into this prescription drug Medicare bill.
Huh.
And talk about hypocrisy, which is what you were talking about.
Yes.
These are people who tell us they are great free traders. You say, oh, it is okay. You can bring beef in from Canada. You can bring vegetables in from Mexico. You can get poultry from any place in the world. No problem. But when it comes to bringing in FDA-approved medicine from a handful of warehouses and factories in Canada, among other places, we just can't do that. I mean, the hypocrisy is literally beyond belief.
Well, let me ask you the state of the law at this point, because I know you've taken some trips up to Canada with seniors to help them get their less expensive pharmaceuticals up there. Isn't it Michigan one of the states that the governor is actually pushing to get cross-border importation?
Well, Minnesota is working. The Republican governor, what's happening now is the outrage is so great at almost every level is that you're seeing impossible to estimate exactly, but there are projections that there are some 2 million Americans who are now buying their prescription drugs from Canada.
Are these people in danger, Bernie, when they come across the border of being arrested?
Here's what the story is. No, that's never happened. And I've been on several trips with people from the state of Vermont. What happens now is if you go across the border and you buy medicine in Canada for 90 days or less for your own personal use,
and
be resold, they will let you back in.
Okay.
So you got a gray area. There are some who argue that it's against the law, but what the customs people do every single day is they say, okay, you can come back in.
Right.
What's happening now, and you touched on this, Rama, what is very important is that in states like Minnesota, New Hampshire, and by the way, Republican governors there, Illinois, a Democratic governor, other states and cities, public officials are saying we are wasting a lot of taxpayer dollars by paying top price for prescription drugs when we can get it at a lot less price in Canada, save money for our city government, for our state government, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Needless to say, the pharmaceutical industry and the Bush FDA are working very, very hard to try to halt that practice. But we got about 2 million Americans, it is estimated, who are now saving substantial sums of money.
Well, Bernie, you know, there's a lot of millionaire CEOs whose salaries we have to protect, and that's a national priority, I think, nowadays.
Well, what we should note is that the pharmaceutical industry, year after year, is the most profitable industry in this country. And one way they remain profitable is by making money all over the world. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
They, of course, make money doing business in Canada. But they make incredibly more money here in the United States by charging us, in some cases, 5 or 8 times more for the same medicine than they charge Europeans or Canadians.
All right. Well, now, okay, the bill, they've turned around rather more quickly than they've admitted with the missing weapons of mass deception over in Iraq. With this bill, they turned around fairly quickly and admitted that how it was marketed and sold to Congress was actually not factual, that in fact it's actually substantially more for what they estimate on the cost, and now they're blaming you guys too, of course. By they, I mean the administration. What is it that is being looked at? What can possibly
be... Well, here's what's going on. I was just at a meeting a couple of weeks ago with a number of people from the Senate, people like John McCain, Byron Dorgan of North Dakota, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, and some others.
Right.
And they are in the process of putting together similar type legislation that... similar to what we passed in the House. And if we can pass that, what we call reimportation legislation, we think that we can lower prescription drug costs in this country by 30 to 50%.
Hmm.
And there will be hearings held in the Senate. McCain held a hearing a couple of months ago, which was an excellent hearing. He did a really quite good job on this.
Yeah.
And there'll be hearings, and they will attempt to try to move this along probably as an amendment on the appropriations bill. We think we have the votes in the Senate. We think that there will be enormous opposition from the Bush White House and from the Republican leadership, all of whom who are very deeply indebted to the pharmaceutical industry. The point here, let me, Rama, reiterate, and I've said this many times, the goal is not to have Americans by the zillions going to Canada or elsewhere to buy their drugs.
Right.
The goal is that once you open those doors, the industry will be forced to lower prices in this country to the world market level, which is what we want to do. So we don't want everybody running to Canada. We want our pharmacists to be able to purchase medicine for the same price that Canadians or Europeans do.
Yeah, and we're just trying to work within the same ground rules that they use for importing cars and stuff.
Exactly.
Is there any chance of some reasonable advances? I don't know if you get around to actually enacting a law this year, but is there any realistic expectation that some advances will happen this year before the, you know, being
yes,
the election?
There are. We, as I said, by a very strong vote, we already passed this in the House. So it's passed in the House. We think we have the votes in the Senate, and they're going to try to move that forward as quickly as they can. So we do think we have a shot at it.
Bernie, we got music coming up into a break. Can you stick around for a little bit more?
Yeah.
That'd be great, huh? Okay. Rahm Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We're talking with Congressman Sanders. You all will be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is the real free speech zone, and gracious enough to join us on the phone is my congressman from Vermont, I'm proud to say, Mr. Bernie Sanders, and welcome back, Bernie.
Good to be with you, Rama.
Do you mind taking a quick phone call here?
No, let's take some phone calls.
Okay, Armin from Florida, and I just want to warn you now, let's keep it to one short question, okay, Armin?
Okay, yeah, I just want to cover a couple quick areas.
No. One short question.
Well, one quick short question. Okay. Bernie.
Yeah.
Since Bush has been in, have you ever heard him mention anything at all about the safety of legal or illegal drugs coming in from Mexico? And further the question and finish it, is if this bill goes through the Senate and we can get it, can we keep our what I consider to be guest corporations, which they've become in this country for the most part? They're guest corporations that now want to bring in guest workers. Can we keep them from turning right around and buying these other pharmaceuticals in these other countries and becoming what they are now, which is predatory monopolies anyway?
Okay, thank you for the question, Armin.
Well, Armin raises an interesting issue. I can't swear to it, but I don't recall hearing the president talking about medicine from Mexico. The focus certainly of the FDA right now is on Canada.
Right.
And it's clear that in the southern part of our state, in Texas, California, people are going over the Mexican border. But most of the folks who work, who buy their medicine through the Internet do it, I think, through Canadian pharmacies there.
Right. And by the way, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Before I try to go into another topic, are you going to have time to stick around after the bottom of the hour, Bernie?
Well, I'll tell you, if we have some calls coming in, I would love to answer them.
Okay.
If we can stay around to the bottom of this, sure we can, Rama.
Okay, let's go right over to Richard from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And as soon as I gave the phone number, people just popped up there.
Yeah, why don't we get some calls? Let's see how we're doing on that.
Okay, let's go, Richard from Grand Rapids.
Hey, thanks very much, and Representative, honored to be on with someone I consider to be a patriot. I was going to ask a question with a follow-up, but if I only get one question,
go ahead. You can make it quick.
Yeah, I'll phrase it this way. Are you saying that Representative Tozen is corrupt? And if that's the case, shouldn't we make him our Willie Horton?
Shouldn't we what?
Put a face on an issue. That's how they beat.
Yeah, well, there is. There is.
Shouldn't Tozen be our Willie Horton when it comes to coziness?
Well, let me tell you something, Richard. There are a lot of Republicans who are not happy about what Tozen did, mm-hmm. because they understand that all over this country people are going to be talking about this, the absurdity of the guy who writes the bill,
sure.
the guy who prevents the government from negotiating lower prices, suddenly sure. getting a job. He hasn't taken the job yet. The offer is out there. What we do know is he's resigning from the Congress. The belief is that he will take it. But you can bet your bottom dollars that a few of us will be talking about this.
I believe it's more than a few. I'd play that as big as the Republicans played Willie Horton, that bogus issue in 88. They say health care is the number one issue. And
Richard, I think you are
good up it is.
Keep your ears open on that one.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, Richard. Roy from Rio Rancho.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Shift, mate? Oh, good morning. My comment or question, I saw a little brief mention about it, didn't have time to study it, and I don't know if it's been talked about, but I understand that the PR firm that's running the president's first election campaign, or his re-coronation campaign, has also been hired to do a massive multi-million dollar PR campaign to tell us how great this absolutely disastrous immoral bill is.
Well, Richard, you hit it on the head. You're exactly right. In fact, I was going to mention that before. In fact, what the Bush White House has decided to do is to use your taxpayer dollars for television advertising and newspaper advertising, telling seniors what a wonderful piece of legislation this turkey really is. And among other things, they are going to be using as their consultant for television ads, the company that the president uses for his campaign. You're absolutely correct.
Okay, Bernie, we got to drop out and do some more important commercial information. Are you going to be able to hang around?
Yes.
All right, we got more calls. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. Everybody, we'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
In the world of statistics, the human impact on the natural environment is enormous and abnormal. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to consumption of the Earth's natural resources, the impact of humanity is far outside the range of what's normal for populations of many other warm-blooded creatures. That's one finding in a study by Chuck Fowler, an ecologist with the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle, Washington. Fowler normally studies the way entire populations of marine mammals affect their surroundings. He expanded his research to see how people compare with other species in terms of the ecological footprint we leave on the natural world.
There are lots of ways of measuring those footprints, and they range all the way from our consumption of food resources, our production of carbon dioxide, our occupation of space. You name it, there are just lots of ways of measuring the footprint, and what we are doing now is using the footprints that all species have and making comparisons between humans and other species in a way where we're getting an assessment of what works.
In part of his study, Fowler compared the size of the human population to numbers for 63 other mammals that are roughly our size and weight. The list included animals such as seals and white-tailed deer. The statistical comparison produced a range of population sizes that would be considered normal for each species. The upper limit of normal population sizes were in the tens of millions, but no higher. Fowler says a world filled with a billion white-tailed deer would be quite abnormal. In the context of this study, he says abnormal clearly applies to the human population, which now stands at 6 billion people. Fowler's research was recently published in a journal of the Royal Society of London. The article carries the title, Is Humanity Sustainable? Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the new American century.
All right. Welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, helping you win the water cooler wars. And actually, somebody who's much better at this than I am, Mr. Bernie Sanders, my congressman from Vermont, I'm proud to say, is gracious enough to spend some time on the phone with us. We've been talking about pharmaceuticals and Medicare bills and people making profit from the Medicare bills. That is, you know, everybody seems to be profiting off this thing. I don't know what the heck's going on, but Bernie, ready for another phone call?
Yep.
All right, Joe from Utah, your turn.
Hello, folks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the show, and thank you, Congressman Sanders, for making yourself available.
Thank you, Joe.
As I understand it, we have about $139 billion worth of subsidization of the pharmaceutical industry for research, development, advertising, and so forth. I really think that we need to go back and just invest that into colleges and university research that's made available as a public domain item and get this patenting process, remove it. What are your thoughts on that, please?
Well, you raise an interesting question. What I could tell you what I have done. A couple of years ago, let me repeat the very important point that the caller is making. And the point that he's making is that we as taxpayers are pouring billions and billions of dollars into the National Institute of Health, which then goes out to foundations, universities, and governmental research. The result of that has been that some of the important drugs for cancer, diabetes, AIDS, and so forth have, in fact, been developed through your taxpayer dollars. The problem that exists, and many of you may be asking this, well, what happens when government money develops a drug? What happens? Well, the answer is that to a significant degree, we simply give that product and that research over to the pharmaceutical industry, which charges us any price that they want. Several years ago, we passed legislation in the House that I introduced, which says to the industry that when you receive the benefits of taxpayer research, you've got to sell the product at a reasonable price. You can't charge any price that you want. A lot of support for that. It was killed later on in the conference committee. But I do believe that the caller makes an important issue. If we're spending huge sums of money, I don't know exactly what the amount is, in research and development, the goal of it should be to bring that product back to the consumer at the lowest possible price.
And can I suggest, I'm in Utah where the herbal industry is, we're the center of the herbal trade, mm-hmm. out there with all of the different facilities. I helped build one out. And many of them are pharmaceutically rated in terms of the way they function. And if you made that public, because all of the products we use in the herbal industry, it's common product. It's not patented. If you made these common, you would bring out another opportunity for the small pharmaceutical companies to evolve, and they would compete with the same products, how they mix them together and make and pass FDA approval, of course, in the process. But then what you have is you have this environment where you have a very competitive environment that brings the cost of those drugs down dramatically.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your thought.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Bern, let me ask you, first of all, Utah, yeah, when he mentioned about all that, Utah is actually the home of Dynamite Marketing, my favorite horsey vitamin place anyway. I'm not trying to plug anybody. It just made me think there. I forgot what the question I was going to ask, so let's just go on to Jerry from South Carolina. Jerry, welcome to the Tom Hartman Show. You got Bernie Sanders on the phone.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Jerry.
4 years ago, last week, John McCain and George Bush were locked in a very fierce campaign against each other. And last week, John McCain was campaigning for George Bush. Do you think that there's any possibility that McCain will be one of the people that want to be on this panel to investigate the WNB?
I've heard that. I don't know anything more than you do, to tell you the truth. I'm not into speculation. I've heard that. We'll find out soon enough. Just don't know the answer to that, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for your call, Jerry. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman Show being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. The question actually I had, Bernie, had to do with this whole thing about patents and how they deal with them in the pharmaceuticals specifically. I think the whole patent system has gotten all wacky here. But in the U.S. Constitution, where the section that deals with patents, I'm not looking at it exactly, so I'm not trying to give an exact quote, but patents are for the advancement of the useful arts and sciences. It's not for the advancement of somebody's pocketbook. Is there any sort of constitutional issue that we're going to start running into with these patents that are going to tell them that, look, you can't keep extending these pharmaceutical patents. You got to go back to 10 or 12 years or something like that.
The problem here is you're dealing with an industry that is so wealthy and so powerful that every time their patent on a particular drug is about to expire, they come up with some gimmick or another to try to extend it, which means that consumers are paying higher prices because that product does not become a generic.
I mean,
so
they
there is
the
legislation,
color
and there's work in Congress trying to change that right now, but you're taking on a very tough industry. And I'll tell you, if I could, Rama,
yes,
where this issue becomes even broader is there is, as you know, in Brazil and India, some other countries who are facing terrible AIDS problems. The question whether or not these countries can make generic AIDS medicine is being contested in many instances by the industry, despite the fact that many of the victims in Africa are living on a dollar a day and can never pay the thousands of dollars that the drugs would cost on the market.
Right.
So that's another very profound issue. What happens if somebody is living on a dollar a day and has AIDS and obviously can't pay $10,000 a year for a treatment? What is the moral issue involved here?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the industry has been kind of saying, sorry, you don't have the money, well, you die. But you have countries in Brazil, India, and elsewhere that are saying, we're going to produce generics so that people can stay alive.
What can the average Jane and John Doe on the streets do now, within the constraints of the current system, you know, without advocating violent overthrow of the government and knowing that the election's not till November and that you guys often have, as hard as people like you work, and I know, Bernie, you really do work with all sides of the aisle, what can the average Jane and John Doe do today to kind of beat down the price of their pharmaceuticals?
Well, I mean, for a start, Rama, we've got to change the political culture in this country. People have got to be involved. We have the immediate task is for the Senate to pass legislation similar to what was passed in the House.
Right.
And to demand that the president sign that. So I would suggest that every listener get a hold of their United States Senator, demand action on reimportation so that we can lower prescription drug costs 30% to 50%. Also make sure that there are fundamental overhauls of this Medicare bill that passed, among other things. Of course, the government should be able to negotiate drug prices down with the pharmaceutical industry. So if we do those two things, if people get involved in the process, we put pressure on the Senate, we can lower prescription drug costs by 30% to 50%, and then have a strong prescription drug bill for our seniors under Medicare.
Okay. Can I completely jerk you into a different direction here?
Okay, just maybe a little bit more, and then I'm going to get off in a little while.
Okay, this has to do with Venezuela. Lately, I've been talking to people from the Venezuela, and there seems to be a building consensus of concern about our administration's policies towards Venezuela, that they were involved with a 2002 attempted coup, that they're looking at trying to repeat it again. Is there any indication in your experience in Washington, D.C. lately that that's a valid concern?
Well, based on the history of the United States, probably there is legitimate reason to be concerned. The United States, this government, historically has not tolerated governments in Latin America that have stood up to the United States in one way or another.
Right.
But I don't know specifically. I think there were allegations made. They were denied. So I can't give you any information that I really just don't have answers to.
Any thoughts on the Democratic primaries?
Well, what my role is as an independent is I'm going to do my best to see that President Bush is a one-term president.
Yeah.
And that's what my role will be.
Good man. I mean, you know, there's nothing that bothers Republicans especially as much as when people sit there and say, but Bernie's an independent. They always try to go, no, he's a Democrat. And we sit there, we go, no, he's an independent.
Well, I'm not going to get, because I am not a Democrat, I'm not going to get involved with the Democratic primaries. But I am going to do my best in Vermont and around the country to see that Mr. Bush is a one-term president, because I think, at least in my memory, I cannot recall any president who has been more interested in representing the wealthy and the powerful and less concerned about the middle class and working families of our country.
Yeah. Well, now, what do you hear when you – are you in D.C. now, or are you back up here?
No, I'm back in Vermont right now.
Oh, great. Well, now, I know you get around, you talk to people. What do you hear their concern is as far as the pharmaceuticals or anything else goes?
I think people are very concerned about the economy. I think they're concerned not only about high unemployment, but about the fact that many of the jobs that are being created pay less than the jobs that we're losing. In many communities in Vermont, throughout this country, jobs are being lost to China, right. Mexico, information technology jobs being lost to India. That's a huge concern. The fact that the cost of health care is soaring, that we are the only country in the world without a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people, is a huge issue. Prescription drugs is a huge issue. The fact that our deficit is now at $520 billion, record-breaking, $7 trillion national debt. The good news here is that in the year 2009, every one of us is going to owe some $38,000 as part of the national debt. And a lot of that has to do with huge tax breaks that go to millionaires and billionaires. So the question of why we are indebting our grandchildren to give tax breaks to billionaires today is something that I think a lot of people are concerned about. People, you and I have talked about this over the years, concerned about what's going on with our veterans.
Yep.
We've got a war in Iraq right now. These people are going to come home. Some of them are going to be injured. The president is cutting back on health care for our veterans. People are very, very upset about that.
Yep.
So there's a lot of issues out there that people are worried about.
Well, in relation to Iraq, and this is something you dealt with the Gulf War, I call it syndrome, what a Gulf War illness. Last time I read, there was something like 10 or 11,000 troops had come back from Iraq this time around with disease. They were sick. I'm not talking about the people who got wounded or killed by bullets or bombs. I'm talking about people that got sick. Are you aware? Is that number sound reasonable to you? And is there?
I don't have the figure in front of me, but we know a lot of people have come back ill. Yes.
Are we looking at a repeat of the Gulf War illness here, or was this going to be Gulf War illness?
I don't think it's the same thing. I think the Gulf War illness had to deal with sarin. It had to perhaps deal with vaccines, the possibility of combination of factors resulting in brain damage, which resulted in what we call the Gulf War syndrome, which has affected about 100,000 Americans from that first Gulf War.
Yeah.
So there's something going on there now, but I don't think it's the same thing as the first Gulf War.
Well, you know, I'm not a combat veteran, but having served in the military, I know a lot of veterans certainly appreciate all the time and effort you've put in looking out for them. I mean, it's...
Well, I think people... When we talk about veterans' issues, what people should never forget, it's not the guys and the women who are over there
right. Who
caused the war. You can oppose the war, but you got to support the people who are fighting it. There's a lot of young people over there who are hurting badly, and we don't turn our backs on those people. We take care of them when they're there. We take care of them when they come back. Let's hope that we can bring them back as soon as possible.
Well, we're coming up on the last few minutes before we go into another break, and I want to let you go before that break because there's no sense you hanging around for a couple minutes to guess go to the top of the hour. But is there, in the next couple of minutes, anything you want to wrap up here? Or?
Well, I hope that people appreciate the importance of becoming involved in the political process. We have, as you know, Rama, the lowest voter turnout of any major country on earth. A lot of young people don't vote. A lot of lower-income people don't vote. And I think one of the reasons we have outrageous actions on the part of Congress, such as we saw with this prescription drug Medicare bill, is that the Congress worries about wealthy people and corporate interests and does not worry about the average American. And that will not change unless ordinary people become involved in the political process. So let's see if we can increase voter turnout. We can raise political consciousness on the important issues. Let's see if we can make sure we don't get deflected on a dozen different wedge issues that they'll be throwing at us to divide the American people up, but stay focused on how we can expand the middle class, how we can create a national health care program for all people, how we can make sure that we have the best educational system in the world and make sure that all Americans will be able to go to college without having to go bankrupt in the process. So many things that we have to do, and we can do those things in this very wealthy country, but
right.
We will not be successful unless people participate actively in the political process.
Well, Bernie, I really, really want to thank you for coming on the air. It's been a grand talking to you again.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Robert.
And you have a good time while you're up here in Vermont, and if you have to go out anywhere, drive carefully.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Here. Bye-bye, Bernie. All right. Congressman Bernie Sanders. And upstream there, my computer screen just went kaputs again. So, you know, if you have something you got to tell me, it's not going to help much to type it into me. You're going to have to tell me to my headphones. Oh, we got all sorts of, you know, assuming that I'm going to be here for the next hour. Yeah, I am disorganized at the moment, but boy, I love talking to Bernie because you don't have to have a lot of material to talk to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is so chock full of information that and facts and figures along the way and things that are going on that he just basically, you just have to ask him a question and then shut up and sit back and let him talk because he can do it and he does it great. Coming up, we got all, boy. Man, this same-sex marriage, all right, that's there, too. We spent a lot of time talking about that yesterday, so I'm going to try not to talk too much about that one. But the supermarket trade in nuclear technology alarms UN inspectors. That's a headline from a Guardian, and that's one that I really think needs to be discussed here is who was it who was responsible for spreading weapons of mass destruction? Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass destruction. You will be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds. And 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone. And let's go to the phone. We have a Tom from California on the line with us, I believe. Oh, he's not on the phone. All right, well, we don't have Tom. Okay, supermarket trade and nuclear technology alarms UN inspectors. I don't know. This is from The Guardian, and it just strikes me. I mean, it just starts off here. The UN's top nuclear official, that would be El Baradé, called for a new international regime to destroy the flourishing black market in nuclear technology, describing current controls as kaput. Mohamed El Baradé, the head of the Vienna-based International Atomic Energy Agency, said the trade in the technology was now a dangerous supermarket. And he goes on to talk about recent revelations of clandestine sales in, North Korea and Libya, calling them just the tip of the iceberg. He also, talks about Libya, and he talks about Iran, and they talk about German businessmen, and they talk about German scientists and British businessmen. Of course, they haven't gotten around to mentioning Halliburton yet, although I'm sure Halliburton's in there somewhere. It's got to be in there somewhere. And I'm going through this list: Pakistan, Libya, North Korea, Iran. Who else? Britain's involved in this through their citizens. So is Germany and probably France and the U.S. Who knows who else? You know, Alberti's saying it's the tip of the iceberg. And I went back over this article several times because something was missing. Because I can't believe that the Bush administration would be so far off that Iraq would not have been mentioned in this article at all. Iraq would not be in the iceberg. I mean, after all the, what was that about the mushroom cloud that George told us, huh? But you know what? I go over this article, and Iraq is just not in there. We can't find it. We're going to have to go back. WMD, weapons of memory destruction, Super Bowl shows. Hey, that's what it's coming down to. These folks, they didn't do a sales job as such. They didn't advertise invading Iraq. They marketed invading Iraq. And the difference between advertising and marketing, advertising says, this is what we are, this is what we have, come do whatever. Marketing says, gee, you really got to believe this because this and this and that and the other thing. That's marketing. It's an active persuasion. So, oh well, the supermarket just didn't involve Iraq, did it? And that's where we are. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. Don't go away, you're all going to be right back.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like a tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush's public support dropped sharply over the past month, especially among older voters, political independents, and people in the Midwest, an Associated Press poll found. And for the first time, more voters in this poll's 2 years of tracking the question said they would definitely vote against Bush than they would definitely vote for him. Bush's approval rating stood at 47% in the AP Ipsos poll taken early in February, down from 56% approval just a month ago. Half, or 50%, said they disapproved in the latest poll. Bush's 47% rating is the same as his father's at this stage in his presidency 12 years ago, before he lost to Bill Clinton. Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry is poised to secure the backing of former rival Dick Gephardt and his once loyal labor unions, further clearing the Massachusetts senator's path towards the nomination. His opponents, meanwhile, are seeking to slow his rapid rise and establish themselves as his alternative. Howard Dean is camping out in Wisconsin with hopes of resurrecting his struggling campaign, and Sons of the South John Edwards and Wesley Clark are stumping in that region as well. The upcoming campaign calendar likely will heap even more momentum and more delegates onto Curry as well. His rivals haven't made much of an effort in Michigan, Washington, or Maine, where contests this weekend offered 228 delegates combined. The U.S. economy created just 112,000 new jobs in January, far fewer than expected, government data showed on Friday, in a disappointing report that will likely weigh on George W. Bush's election campaign. The fifth straight monthly gain in payrolls outside farming followed a revised increase of 16,000 new jobs in December, the Labor Department said. The unemployment rate ticked down to 5.6%, the lowest rate since January 2002, from 5.7% the previous month, but those numbers are taken from a separate, smaller survey. Analysts had been expecting the improving economy to create 150,000 new jobs in January. They were looking for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 5.7%. More news after this.
In an instant, my son could make anyone smile. In an instant, he was gone. The driver was looking for other cars. But he didn't watch out for my son. Crossing the street. Imagine, in the time it takes to stop for someone in the crosswalk, you could save a life. Or change yours forever.
A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
An Idaho truck driver received his Million Mile Safe Driving Award in a hospital after getting injured in a crash. Raymond Mattis was headed from Washington State to Ohio and planned to stop in Missoula, Montana on Saturday to pick up his award from Jim Palmer Trucking.
Before he could reach the company's yard, an SUV skidded into the path of his tractor-trailer on Interstate 90 outside of town. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Anyone who still thinks that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties should take a look at a Washington squabble over the dime itself. A gaggle of top Republican leaders in Congress, including the odious legislative thug Tom DeLay, are furiously pushing a bill to alter the dime. They want to remove the likeness of Franklin D. Roosevelt from the coin and replace it with the countenance of Ronald Reagan. In a time when America's health care system is failing, when the federal budget is $500 billion short, when middle-class jobs are disappearing, when our troops are dying every day in Iraq and Afghanistan, isn't it comforting to see that our country's lawmakers do not let these actual problems deter them from getting down in the slime of petty partisanship for something as inconsequential as displacing a Democratic president with a Republican one on our 10-cent piece? Democrats in Congress are responding with their own effort to keep FDR on the coin. They point out that his face was put on it not merely because he was president, but especially because he had founded the March of Dimes organization, through which America's children collected the dimes that funded research into polio, the awful disease that had put Roosevelt himself in a wheelchair. Thanks to those dimes, a vaccine was developed that effectively ended polio in our country. But Democrats are not alone in opposing this effort to scrape FDR off the dime. None other than Nancy Reagan opposes it. Indeed, Ronald Reagan himself has proudly noted that he voted for Roosevelt in all four of his presidential elections, and Reagan cited the Democrat as the greatest president of the century. This is Jim Hightower saying, nonetheless, the rabidly partisan Republican leaders are still demanding FDR's head. If they win, will they then go after the nickel, which features Jefferson, the first Democrat? To help stop this silliness on the dime, call the office of Representative Jim McGovern, 202-225-6101.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back, friends. Yes, indeed. Here we are back again live from Palm Springs, California, this time on a real live digital line. No more of that nonsense with the telephone. The phone company, the hotel came through. Isn't it extraordinary? Technology is wonderful. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Rama Schneider, for filling in our last hour. Thank you to Congressman Bernie Sanders for being with us for that segment. That was great, what I was able to hear of it. And we're back live on the air from the Winter Brain Conference. A conference full of brainy people. Now, this is really one of the more serious events of the year. I've spoken here every year, I think, for 7 years now. And it's a conference on all sorts of things, psychological, psychiatric, mental function, and whatnot. And we have with us as a guest for the first segment of our program today, one of the keynote speaker tonight, one of the primes, Swami Beyond Ananda. Swami, welcome to the Tom Harpin program.
It is wonderful to be here. Great to be here, especially at the Brain Conference. I loved the winter brain dinner last year, although it tasted a lot like chicken to me.
Yes, it was. Yeah, man, it wasn't chicken brains.
It was not chicken brains. No, the other side.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
I understand that given that George Bush has recently given a State of the Union address, that you, in all of your brainy wonder, are going to be providing to the attendees of this conference tonight, who are mostly, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, researchers, a bunch of hard-nosed folks. A State of the Universe speech.
Yes, it's time to counter the State of the Union with the State of the Universe and look at the bigger picture, because the universe is purring in perfection. It's just we humans who have the problems. And so if we start to tap into the more universal energies, well, then maybe we'll get somewhere. Now, speaking of George Bush, he has actually tapped into that energy, that whole idea of putting a man on Mars. Well, you know, thanks to the so-called Patriot Act, he has a head start because he can have someone on Uranus by the end of the week.
John Ashcroft, it's absolutely true.
And, you know, why don't they ever talk about putting a woman on Venus? You never hear them say that.
You know, I haven't heard that.
We have enough Mars energy. And, of course, that seems to be the George Bush approach to global warming and environmental destruction. Well, we're almost done with this planet. Time to mosey on to greener, or in this case, redder pastures.
Yes.
And you know, the ETs are very concerned about this.
The extraterrestrials.
Oh, absolutely.
They're watching us.
The headline in the Intergalactic Gazette, as soon as the Mars probe landed, the headline was, "There goes the neighborhood."
Yes, no doubt about it. If you'd like to call and ask a question of Swami Beyond Ananda, many of you have heard of him. His website is
wakeuplaughing.com.
There you go. And Swami has been around for many, many years doing...
Well, many, many lifetimes.
Yes, of course.
You and I have had very significant lifetimes together.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember past lives?
Yes.
Oh, do you remember past wives?
Actually, I still have the same one. She's sitting right here.
No, past lives. We actually sat at the feet of the Buddha.
We did, you and I.
Yes, you and I. And every time the Buddha would sit to meditate, you would interrupt him with a question. And they ended up naming a city after you.
And that was?
Budapest.
As I am doing with you.
Yeah.
If anybody would like to call and has a question for Swami, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. 1-800-TALK-YES. And tell me, Swami, let's talk serious politics here.
Okay, well, you're talking to the right guy.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's something funny going on. We all know that.
Yes, there's so a bunch talking, of funny
yeah,
stuff
a lot
going
of
on.
Funny stuff.
What do you think about this thing with the intelligence failure?
Well, you know, I think the intelligence failure began as soon as the inauguration began. We've had a great failure of intelligence because the people who are in charge right now, they are fossils fueled by fossil fuels.
Yes.
And, you know, when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
As Abraham Maslow said in 1971.
Did Abraham say that?
Yes, he did.
Well, we seem to be descending the hierarchy of needs. We're right to survival again.
Yeah.
And we want to get to thrival. Now, my slogan is don't get even, get odd.
Get odd.
Yes.
It's like like Hunter S. Thompson, you know, when the times get weird, the weird turn pro.
Exactly. Well, listen, now, getting even, what is that, an eye for an eye? All that creates is blindness. But what if we tried the odd possibility of doing something different that we've never done?
Such as?
Well, for example, people say, how do we solve the problem in the Middle East? How do we heal the conflict?
Yeah.
I say all we have to do is look beyond our own higher states north to Canada.
Yes.
Now, the Canadian people, they are extremely peaceful. They don't shoot each other. They're extremely peaceful, extremely civilized, except when it comes to hockey.
Yes.
Okay? So my solution for peace in the Middle East, hockey.
Hockey.
Little Palestinian children, little Israeli children playing hockey. The Mossad versus Hamas. Hockey match. They have a big benefit. They raise a lot of money for peace. I mean, there's going to be some high-sticking.
Yeah.
There's going to be some cross-checking, but there won't be any terrorist bombing.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because for a lot of years, I have thought, just personally, just my own personal suspicion, that a lot of what we do in sports in the United States is what 400, 500 years ago in Europe they did with wars.
Exactly.
That sports are surrogate for war. They let all that testosterone out, as it were. So it makes sense.
Exactly. And usually it's not fatal.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get your teeth knocked out, but hey, you can always get new teeth.
Well, and in fact, the Iroquois Confederacy resolved most of their conflicts by playing games. The game that we inherited from them is called lacrosse.
Yes.
And it was actually a form of warfare in which no one was hurt.
Yeah.
It was a way of settling conflicts. They would actually play lacrosse and you know, to decide who got this hunting ground or whatever. You know, whatever it may be.
That's where lacrosse checking came from,
that
whole idea.
There you go. Swami, we've got a phone call. Stephen in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Stephen, you're on the air with Tom Hartman and Swami Beyond Ananda.
Well, that's a pretty good... anyway, the reason I called was a couple items. I know that Kerry's been leading out in the polls, and you've been talking now about the whole war effort, et cetera, and just... couple of items that the public basically may not know at this point in time. One is that Kerry's wife at one point in time has, I don't know how current it is, but the group that's called nonprofitwatch.org has a section on there with regard to her nonprofit organization that was working the Enron circuit, so to speak. Kenneth Clay is on the board of trustees of the foundation.
Wait a minute. You mean to say that Ken Lay and John Kerry's wife are, I wouldn't say in bed together, but you know what I mean, in business together?
Yeah.
Is that what you're suggesting? Huh. Interesting. I didn't know about that.
Find that on nonprofitwatch.org.
Yeah, but, you know, being on the board of a nonprofit with somebody else, I mean, I'm on the board of a couple of nonprofits, and especially a nonprofit. If you're on the board of a for-profit, you're dealing with a lot of, you know, what's really going on here stuff. On the board of a nonprofit, it's much easier not to pay attention to what other people are doing, particularly if they're giving money to the cause.
Right.
As you know, Swami.
Well, do you think that... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say...
Okay. Your question. Go for it.
The second portion on that is looking at the senator to begin with regards to the work that he did on the upswing to this war. I understand that he worked on the Senate Intelligence Committee for a while.
You're talking about John Kerry.
Right, yeah. And then when he went through this whole idea of working on this war, I mean, he abdicated his responsibility, I feel, to us, and giving the ability to go to war to this president. And I mean, that's the bottom line is that we have this big deliberative body. We're just talking about the Iroquois Confederacy. They're supposed to look at these types of issues and deliberate on our behalf and fail to do his job. I mean, at least I feel he failed to do his job. And so
but Steve, I got to tell you, with the Iroquois, I mean, the Iroquois had spies. And they went out and they checked out other nations. They went out and checked us. You know, who are these white people coming from Europe and what are they up to? And then their spies came back and they said, okay, here's the information. And what you had in the United States, and I've talked to several of these legislators, I mean, personally talked to them, who sat in on these top secret hearings. And while they won't say, here's the words that were said to me, because that would be a violation of their top secret clearance, confidentiality oaths, whatever, they have said... quite clearly, and many of them on the record now, by the way, that Cheney and Rumsfeld and a whole bunch of lower level people, but who were, you know, part of that, you get Wolfowitz and these guys, came in and said, hey, we're telling you the truth. This is what's really going on. There really is a danger here. There really is a problem here. And in fact, you know, with these unmanned aerial vehicles, turns out it was a balsa wood airplane. That with this, two-and-a-half-foot balsa wood airplane, they can attack New York City.
My point exactly. I mean, if you look at the overall evidence, I mean, John F. Kennedy did a better job than presenting us with the evidence of the missiles of October.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely, because he didn't have a hidden agenda. See, you got it. What you got to get is that these guys, from day one, from the first day that George Bush took office, he told his I mean, it's right there in O'Neill's book, and O'Neill has no reason to lie about it. In fact, he has every reason not to lie about it. And O'Neill says, you know, from day one, it was, we got to get Saddam. Now, you know, you can come up with, you know, there's the psychobabble theory that he was trying to fulfill his father's failed mission or prove that he's better than his dad. What do you think about that, Swami, by the way?
Well, I think that he is better than his dad. No, actually, I think it's kind of beating around the bush.
It's beating around the bush, yes.
No,
both bushes.
Yes.
So here we are beating around the bush. So there's that. But I, you know, frankly, I think it's no coincidence that the world is full of terrible dictators, many of them far worse than Saddam Hussein. We had Saddam Hussein in a bottle. We knew that he had no program. Hans Blix told us this. You're going to hear the folks on the right on faux news and all these right-wing, frankly, I have to say liars because I don't have a better word, saying, well, France said that they had WMDs. Germany said they had WMDs. The UN had said they had WMDs. We had the other day a United States congressman saying, well, if he didn't want to be attacked, why did he throw out the inspectors? These are all lies. We pulled out the inspectors. Hussein kept saying, bring them in. We don't have anything. He delivered 14,000 pages of documentation to the United Nations. So you got to say, what is the real objective here? And I'd say the real objective is the fact that they're sitting on, as Wolfie said, a sea of oil. Steve, does that answer your question?
Well, somewhat from the standpoint of... It doesn't absolve people of their responsibility, though, because they're supposed to be doing it on our behalf.
Yeah, I agree. And now they're all running around saying...
That's the bottom line. And all of them are now saying exactly... Yeah, I did the right thing, right.
Well, no, I think what's going on in the White House, you got a bunch of people running around going,
now what am I going to do?
Say, yeah, that's what's really up. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Steve, thank you for the call from Santa Fe. I appreciate it. We're going to keep Swami on here for a while for some more insights into what's going on in the world of politics, business, and so on. If you have a call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show?
There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Issues in the news, too. We got this bizarre situation. Lewis Latham wrote a great piece in Harper's this month, and I just want to share, just real quickly, we got a couple of calls. We're going to get back to Swami, but in 1968, Bill Frist's father and elder brother established the Hospital Corporation of America, which has since become the nation's largest consortium of for-profit hospitals and medical centers. Whenever you see this guy on TV, Bill Frist, you know, it's like Ed Gillespie, you know, the head of the RNC, think former Enron lobbyist. Whenever you see Bill Frist, think of this. They created the nation's largest consortium of for-profit hospitals, 252 of them in 23 states. For several decades, the company required each of its hospitals to return a profit of 20% a year and to upcode their patients by exaggerating the degree and severity of their illness in order to receive from Medicaid more generous reimbursements for the delivery of imaginary goods and services. So skilled, Lewis Latham says, so skilled did the hospitals become in the arts of medical chicanery that in December of 2000, HCA admitted to defrauding the federal government. They paid $840 million in fines. 2 years later, confronted with the same circumstances, these guys paid $631 million in fines. This was reached on December 18th, 2002, 2 days before Frist was elected Senate Majority Leader. Swami, what do you think about the state of corruption in American politics?
I think it's very high level. I think we are facing a gold-collar crime wave.
Yes, this is beyond white-collar.
This is gold-collar crime. And, you know, these are people who have studied the ancient Chinese art of using their qi or energy to get unfair advantage called cheating.
There you go. Well said. We've got quite a few calls here. We're going to get to the Kill Your Television from our chat room is on the line. Hey, what city and state are you calling in there from, Kill?
Yes, hello, Tom. I'm in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Okay, great. Welcome from New Jersey. You're on the line with Tom Hartman and Swami Beyondananda.
Great. Just wanted to give a huge shout-out to the chat room and invite all your other listeners to come on in. You always talk about their weapon of mass deception. Well, in my opinion, like my screen name says, I think it's the television, and I think too many people are just coming home, and they sit down, and boom, it just feeds you the information. There's no critical thinking needed. You just kind of dumb out. So what do you think, Swami? Tom?
I totally agree. I believe instead of TV, we should turn off our TV and television instead. I television to you, television to me, and then maybe we will step into these healing visions instead of what we've been stepping into. You know, like for example, the Super Bowl, right? Move On wanted to put a anti-George Bush ad. CBS, who only wants you to see the BS they want you to see, They pulled the ad.
Yeah, I actually called the station 56 times, and I had my friends call it up four. So
that's good.
Yeah, we fill the voice box up pretty much every day.
And you know what? They have their sister or younger brother station, MTV, which I call MTV. And you know, they showed an overwillingness to show a little boob with an underwillingness to expose a bigger one. You know what I'm saying?
And the bigger one being?
Being George Bush.
Uh-huh.
They would not expose that big boob.
They wouldn't expose him with the MoveOn.org. Kill your television. Thanks for calling.
Thank you,
I appreciate
Tom.
Appreciate your sharing with us. Swami, we got about a minute and a half before a break. We got a couple more calls we'll pick up on the other side of the break. I don't want to shortchange anybody here. But
you want a longer change.
Yeah, there you go. What are your thoughts on this whole thing of the media, the media takeover and the media?
Well, I think that we have been inundated by so much irrelevant, toxic BS that our skeptic system has overflowed, and that is why we end up swallowing huge irony's whole. And that's why we have irony deficiency, and the irony curtain has come down.
Oh, yes. Donald Rumsfeld, I can just see cranking it.
Oh, he's just
lowering that thing.
Impropaganda.
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 There you go. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 29 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in just a few moments after these important announcements. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
In the world of statistics, the human impact on the natural environment is enormous and abnormal. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to consumption of the Earth's natural resources, the impact of humanity is far outside the range of what's normal for populations of many other warm-blooded creatures. That's one finding in a study by Chuck Fowler, an ecologist with the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle, Washington. Fowler normally studies the way entire populations of marine mammals affect their surroundings. He expanded his research to see how people compare with other species in terms of the ecological footprint we leave on the natural world.
There are lots of ways of measuring those footprints, and they range all the way from our consumption of food resources, our production of carbon dioxide, our occupation of space. You name it, there are just lots of ways of measuring the footprint, and what we are doing now is using the footprints that all species have and making comparisons between humans and other species in a way where we're getting an assessment of what works.
In part of his study, Fowler compared the size of the human population to numbers for 63 other mammals that are roughly our size and weight. The list included animals such as seals and white-tailed deer. The statistical comparison produced a range of population sizes that would be considered normal for each species. The upper limit of normal population sizes were in the tens of millions, but no higher. Fowler says a world filled with a billion white-tailed deer would be quite abnormal. In the context of this study, he says abnormal clearly applies to the human population, which now stands at 6 billion people. Fowler's research was recently published in a journal of the Royal Society of London. The article carries the title, Is Humanity Sustainable? Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament?
How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 27 minutes before the hour. We're in the third hour of the program here. Got a few callers. We've got Swami Vyanananda. We're broadcasting live from the Winter Brain Conference. You can learn more about it, by the way, on the web at futurehealth.org if you'd like to find out about that. Kim in South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Kim, welcome.
How's it going today?
We're alive and kicking.
Listen, I got two questions, and I'll make them fast. And one's light side, one's heavy side.
Okay.
The light side is, have they found any more, high technological planes such as the ultralight that flew over that convoy once? And number two question, and this is a heavy one, Doug Steffen had a gentleman call in, and they had quite a good bit of, like a conference, the name of Chris Milligan. And his family has members in the Skull and Bones. And number one, he confirmed the fact that they do have a shrine to the Nazis. And also, he claimed that through their grandparents or great-grandparents, the Careys and Bushes are actually distant cousins. Now, my question is, would this have a reason, Mr. Swami, for Mr. Carey's reluctance to attack or criticize Bush and his policies? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Kim. What are your thoughts on that, Swami?
Well, you know, I was with the other fraternity, the Bull and Scones. That was the different one, and so I missed out on all of that fun stuff. But I would say that really what we need to have right now is we the people need to elect ourselves to make sure that whoever is elected does our bidding, not the bidding of the highest bidder. We have to keep them in close scrutiny.
Yeah.
That is the important thing.
There you go. I can't comment on the details of either of those things because I wasn't a party to them. I don't have the research in front of me. These questions are not going to go away. And the thing about Skull and Bones, I have a feeling, is going to get bigger and bigger. And it just brings me back to the idea that Karl Rove has pulled a Richard Nixon. When Nixon decided that he did not want to run against Ed Muskie because he could beat him, he knew that Ed Muskie could beat him. They got in there and they made sure that the Democrats nominated George McGovern. And I think that George Bush knew, or Karl Rove knew, that Howard Dean could probably beat. I mean, he doesn't. You know, he's not a Massachusetts liberal. I mean, it's as if every. I mean, when you start seeing the stuff that's going to be coming out against Kerry. We're all going to support him, and God bless him. Hopefully he can replace George Bush, but...
Sure. Well, you know, he did use Heinz money to play ketchup.
There you go. He actually did, yes.
Not
well
blood
said.
Money, it was ketchup there, money.
But well said. Rachel in Santa Fe has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Swami Vyanananda.
Hello, Tom. This is Narlodia. I have a question for the esteemed Swami. I see on your website, Swami, that you are a Kucinich supporter, And having seen the direction Kucinich has taken and, you know, some of the media, the way the media treats the man and his idealism, you know, and the fact that idealism now is actually to anyone's discredit, how do you, in your vast wisdom, how do you make peace with reality?
Well, I'm pretty pissed off about it. No, actually, I think that Kucinich is the most, he is the truth teller. And everybody wants to skirt around the truth. Everybody wants to, you know, he might win the Nobel Prize this year. But everybody wants to skirt around the truth, because if they didn't, then they would have to face the truth and do something about it. So I see that he's going to stay in it, because his job is to educate it, just like my job is to turn my devotees into votees. His job is to activate the people who have consciousness and bring more of that consciousness into the political process. He is what we are reaching for, because if we want to take America back, we must take America forward.
Yeah, well said. Rachel, thanks for the call. Chris in New Mexico is on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Steve Behrman, Swami Biyanananda.
Oh, hello, Tom. You know, the depressing thing to me is that George Bush would not have caught one of Swami's puns. Just right over his head. You know that, don't you?
Well, he doesn't catch a whole lot.
I'm a Kerry supporter. I think more than anything else, because I listen to a great deal of hard right media, talk radio and print media, and it's become apparent that John Kerry is the one that scares the bejesus out of them. You know, they weren't going this low and this hard and this dirty with Dean, even when he was out in front.
Chris, they were spending millions of dollars in Iowa running ads against Howard Dean.
Well, no, I understand that, but it's just listen to talk radio, listen to a Limbaugh, and listen to how low in the gutter they're getting to attack John Kerry. I think that the Republicans wanted Dean. I really do, because then things like military records would not have come up. What I'm finding interesting and a little bit heartening, actually, I talk to my conservative friends, and I have quite a few. Most, not all, but most have come to me and said, look, these people, Bush, Cheney, Karl Rove, Condi Rice, they're not conservatives. You know, not fiscally, not in foreign policy. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to understand that Barry Goldwater is doing backflips in his grave right now. And I think if a lot more people who are real conservatives can start looking at it from that point of view, that they're not backing a conservative, it might be better for us.
Yeah, well said, Chris. Thanks for the call. What are your thoughts on that, Swami?
Well, you know, I think we need to be middle of the road, but middle of a different road. And we need to widen that road so more people can travel it.
And how do we start that?
Well, I think we start that by acknowledging that even though the right is wrong, that doesn't mean the left is right.
And therefore, now I'm lost.
Well, we mean to lose people along the way. No, but the point is that every point of view, the entire political spectrum has something to offer. And
what? You're sounding like a liberal!
No, we need the right wing and the left wing to fly straight.
There you go.
When you only have one strong right wing, you're going to fly around in circles.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, as we're seeing.
As we are seeing.
And eventually spiral into the ground.
Yeah, we are doing that.
As we are doing. Yes. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Pat in Georgia is on the line. Hey, Pat, welcome to the Tom. Oh, Pat Jopp. Okay, let's go to Kodak in Washington, D.C. Driving a truck through Washington, I'll bet you, Kodak.
Yes, I have a question here. I thought the United States had said that we were going to go after any terrorist, any nation, any man, woman, child who support, harbor, or supplies the terrorists with any type of weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Talk is cheap.
What about Pakistan?
Yeah.
They said that they support the pardon that was given to the father of the Pakistan nuclear program.
Right, yeah, the father of the Pakistani nuclear program who on the side was selling his technology to Libya and Iran and Pakistan.
I guess we got to go and invade there next, right?
Oh, that's
good
right.
Luck.
They have a pipeline coming their way, don't they?
Well, and they got a big army, and they got nuclear bombs. What are your thoughts on this, Swami?
All right, my other quick comment is, my political candidates, I want any candidate that has the benefit to stand on that stage in a debate with George Bush and be able to take a stack of papers and say, no, George Bush, and beat him about the head and shoulders the truth that all his administration has been about is not the American people. And the question for the Swami is, how do you become a Swami? I think I have a pretty good sense of humor.
Well, you know what? I met a Swami named Swami Salami, and he was from New Delhi.
You have a great sense of humor, great program. I've enjoyed it today. You all have a good weekend. Hey to everyone in the chat room and all those other truck drivers out there. Okay. Everybody be safe.
Thanks, Kodak. Thanks for listening on the Sirius satellite there. Okay. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Moving along here, David in San Francisco, California, is on the line. You're on the line with Tom Hartman and Swami Beyondananda.
David?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Well, you're live and on the air.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I was lucky enough to catch the Swami's Enlightenment down in Santa Cruz one year, and all was good. We just had a little 911 conference. It was called the Behind Every Terrorist, There's a Bush, and it was essentially we had a whole bunch of different comedians and other enlightening folk, and if they put on another one, I'll see if we can get you booked for it.
Well, I've been booked but never convicted, so that would be fine.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was prompted to. There's some new news, of course. When I heard that you were a Kucinich supporter, we've got a lot of optimism lately. Looking at Cheney right away, there are three huge scandals with him. He may be impeachable in a matter of moments. Looking at like the Valerie Plame, the outing of the CIA agent, Joseph Wilson's wife is coming from his office. It looks like the whole weapons of mass destruction scam was produced in his office with his Department of Special Operations.
Oh, he's got all these things. Go ahead, David.
And then, of course, this Nigerian, the stealing of $160 million from a bribe out of Nigeria is going to make him so he's indictable by the French. And
David, got a point in there. I agree with you, and I think that's why we're going to see Rudy Giuliani as George Bush's running mate. But do you have a question for this one? Because I got three more calls here.
No trouble. I'm just, you know, being a supporter of Kucinich, this optimism now about Bush being impeached rather than elected gives the opportunity to not, you know, for Democrats around the nation to not be pragmatic and vote for Kerry, but instead to vote for who they really believe in. And even though I'm a Nader supporter, Nader has endorsed Kucinich. So vote your heart again.
Good point, David. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. What are your thoughts on that, Swami?
Well, you know, I think regime change is really where it's at. But looking at the long term, we have to have a vision out there of where we are going.
Right.
Not just being against what we have. I mean, listen, the people who are in power right now, they've promised us perpetual warfare, environmental destruction, loss of civil liberties, growing gap between rich and poor. Now tell me, if we can't do any better than that, we should just pack it and move to Antarctica.
So as a Kucinich supporter, will you vote for John Kerry if he's the nominee
I will bring all of my minions to vote for the Democratic candidate for regime change, but we want to hold their proverbial feet to the fire to make sure that it is not just the same old, same old.
Yeah, and that's what Kucinich is doing so well. Very good. Jamie and George is on the line. Hey, Jamie, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Mike? Hey, Swami.
It's Tom and Swami.
Tom, I'm sorry. I don't know
where my head is. That's all right. Jamie, we got to move along pretty quickly.
Okay, I just wanted to ask Swami a really quick question. You know, with your third eye, look and see, like, what's going to happen with George Tenet? You think they're going to, maybe he should hire, like, a food taster or something, or have one check his brakes on a daily basis? Because I think he's getting ready to squeal.
Well, you know what? We need more truth tellers, and we need something called the Canary Project to protect all of the canaries who want to sing, to make sure that they get to sing for everybody. I don't make predictions because I don't want to lose my nonprofit status.
Okay, gotcha. That's a good deal. Good deal.
Well.
But you know, okay. Another quick point, and I'll be gone, Tom. Sorry.
Okay.
George was sitting right behind Coleman, United Nations, and in it from the beginning. I think he knows. You know, he knows it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for being behind the colon.
Yes. Jamie, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. 1-800-825-5937. David in Massachusetts. We've got a couple minutes left here. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Love your show.
Thanks.
You know, I was thinking about this whole situation with Howard Dean and how he plummeted in the polls after the I Have a Scream speech was shown over 600 times in the national
actually
media.
he was plummeting in the polls before that. He started plummeting the polls right after he told Chris Matthews he was going to break up the big media monopolies and
that's
never
right.
again
that's
got
right.
good
and you know
press.
I was afraid that that was going to happen as soon as I found out
Me
that he
too.
Said that I went ugh, I went
I said to myself I watched it happen. I said, damn, Howard, I don't believe I would have said that.
I know it, but then you know the way they retaliated or the way they you know preemptively struck it at Howard Dean was to show that silly you know scream a million times, and it makes me wonder, are we so media illiterate in this country that we're so easily led around by the nose? I mean, that's what was really stunning and disturbing to me, was the way that happened. I mean, I don't think that he dropped in the polls because people want media conglomeration. I think he dropped in the polls because the media got him out, and the way they did it was to, you know, rifle us with that scream and have
and with nothing positive. Yeah, none of his positive statements were ever repeated on the media. Good point, David. Thanks for the call. Swami,
you know,
your thoughts?
That's really true. And I think we need to give Dr. Dean credit for alerting Americans to mad cowboy disease.
Mad cowboy disease. It's in the White House.
He was the doctor who diagnosed it and got everybody really revved up about it.
About the mad
so
cowboy
he will
disease.
Get credit for that.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. Well said. Hey, Roy in New Mexico, I think we've only got about 10 or 20 seconds left in this segment. My clock is not quite... there goes the music. My clock is not quite as accurate as the one back in the studio. But, Roy, if you want to hang on, we'll pick up your call right after this break. Roy in New Mexico. We're talking with Steve Behrman, Swami Beyond Ananda. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman.com. Bopping the right wing every day on the radio across the USA.
Getting it right and getting tough. He's mystery science and all that stuff.
Win the water cooler wars, Tom's on your side. That's what he's for.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're sitting here at the Witter Brain Conference in Palm Springs, California, with Steve Behrman, also known as Swami Beyond Ananda. And Roy in New Mexico has the honor of the last call of the day. Before I get to Steve, though, I just want to thank Steve Damschroeder for running the board, Louise Hartman for producing the show, Rama Schneider for filling in for us when we couldn't quite make the electronics work, and Steve Behrman for being here with us. Roy, you're on the air.
Swami, I had the opportunity to see you at the ABH convention a few years ago. I was so enlightened that I got to laughing so hard I fell out of my chair. But I forgot. Are you from the south? Are you down there around the Swanee?
The Swami River. No. Yeah, Yes, go ahead.
He's struck by enlightening.
Paul O'Neill, when he was describing the cabinet meetings as being a blind man in a room full of deaf people, could they understand him when he was mispronunciating and misunderstanding what he was trying to say?
Well, you know, I think he has had many problems with the language. In fact, I think George Bush misinterpreted the golden rule as do unto others before they can do unto you.
Oh, I see. And make sure that you get Steve's website out. I have his CD and his tapes, and absolutely hilarious.
WakeUpLaughing.com. Yeah, thank you, Roy. WakeUpLaughing.com
thank
is your
you.
Website.
Wake Up
CD.
Laughing, yes.
Yes. And
but wake up, please.
Yes.
Time to wake up, America.
It is time to wake up. By the way, I forgot to mention Brad Walrod in New York City doing our music, and also to thank the folks in the chat room who have been hanging out with us all this time. If you want to get to our chat room, just go to TomHartmann.com. You can also get to the message boards where you will find thousands of people having left tens of thousands of messages on the topics of this program and others. Lots of interesting stuff. Swami, what are your final thoughts for America?
Well, I'm not ready for final thoughts. I have many, many years left on the planet. But for right
now,
I'd say it's time to wake up, America. Wake up laughing. Because laughter allows us to shine the light on those poorly lit corridors of power and wake up loving. Because love is more powerful than fear, you know that?
Amen.
Otherwise, we'd be singing, all you need is fear.
Yeah, and we're not. Well said.
Okay.
Very well said. Steve Behrman, Swami Beyondananda, our guest for this hour. We're broadcasting live from the Winter Brain Conference. The Winter Brain Conference is also put on by Rob Call, who publishes OpEdNews.com. We'll have Rob on Monday or Tuesday next week. I'll be here throughout the weekend. This is Tom Hartmann. Thank you for joining us. Happy Friday. Shabbat Shalom, TGIF, whatever it is for you. Do good. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here again at Monday, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartmann Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following.